He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It's Thursday, December 28th. We've got today, we've got tomorrow. The trading year will be over. And we've got the Dow hitting new highs, the S&P hitting new highs, all-time highs. This is Bill Gunderson. It is the Best Stocks Now show. And we are off and running here on this Thursday. Very quiet volume, but the Dow is up 43 points, which puts the Dow at 37,700. That is a significant number because it is an all-time high for the Dow. The S&P 500 is up 6. It's closing in on 4,800. It is now at an all-time high once again. So much for those 3,800 projections for 2023. They were way off. They were at 4,800 almost here. The NASDAQ is up 10. We're at 15,109. We're still about 1,000 points away from an all-time high on the NASDAQ, but the NASDAQ has definitely had a good year. Small caps are down today, down 0.25%. I think interest rates are up a little bit. We'll get to that in a minute. Crude oil is down 56 cents to 73.55. Gold, which hit a new all-time high yesterday, is down $5 to 2,088. And the 10-year's up 4 basis points. Okay, that's the first time I've seen the 10-year up, interest rates up in quite some time. We're at 3.83%. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. Well, the watchword here as we get ready to close out the year when the bell rings tomorrow on the market is all-time highs. Okay, that's a pretty good little phrase, catchphrase. To end the year with, the Dow was up 111 yesterday. It hit a new all-time high, 37,656. I remind everybody that when I got into the business about 25 years ago, we were at 3,700. Now we're at 37,000. NASDAQ the S&P hit a new all-time high yesterday, 4,781. We are closing in on 5,000. I don't think we'll get there unless something happens tomorrow, which I don't think it will. We're now looking ahead to 2024. Some new projections out today from various and sundry Wall Street firms. The other number that I want to point out here that's a little bit on the worrisome side is the forward P.E. ratio of the S&P 500 hits 20.8 yesterday. That's the highest it's been in a long time. We were down at 15.5 at one point in time. Now we're at 20.8. That is a rich forward P.E. And I've been mentioning that indicator, the relative strength indicator, the RSI indicator on the markets, on the indexes, very, very overbought right now at this point in time, but yet the market continues to hit new highs and interesting close to the market here in 2023. It all happened when the Fed did a pivot. They did a pivot from raising interest rates to, well, no more rate hikes, and now we're starting to look at rate cuts. And that was a massive pivot in the market. The market seemed to be expecting it, but then again, the reaction to the market tells me that the market wasn't expecting it, because you've had this straight-up move in the market ever since the Fed made that pivot. So we will continue to watch interest rates. We will enter 2024 with a pretty favorable Fed. a favorable interest rate environment. As we entered 2023, we were looking ahead to this day. And it just tells you that the market looks ahead by 6 to 12 months, sometimes even further than that, because you saw the NASDAQ bottom in January of this year, way before the Fed pivot. But you see, the market knew at some point in 2023 the Fed would pivot and started moving way ahead of the actual event. That's called buy the rumor, sell the news. But, you know, the news did come out and the market continued to go higher. We've added a lot of frosting onto this cake, and maybe a little bit too much frosting. We may have to see a little bit of, dieting for the market here once we turn the page on 2023. Next Tuesday. Tuesday will be the first trading day of the year. Could get a little bit interesting. There's a lot of froth in the market right now. We'll return to a real market. This week is not a real market. It's mostly people watching, not doing much, watching it go higher. I've seen this many, many holiday seasons where you've had the market go higher and higher and higher and higher. And how high can she go? Well, we'll see when we come back next week to a more normal market. I would say by Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of next week, we're going to kind of set the tone, I would say, for 2024. So we'll be watching that. Take your vitamins. Get rested up over the coming three-day weekend. Strap on your seat belts. We could see some volatility to begin 2024. Okay, here's our first shot over the bow, maybe. We still have a strong jobs market, but every Thursday those initial jobless claims come in. And really, they are the earliest indicator that we get should there be any kind of issues with jobs market in 2024. We know that it was the jobs market that was the most stubborn of all of the inputs to inflation to cool off. It's still very strong. We're still seeing job market help wanted signs. But I'm not seeing the labor shortages that I saw several months ago. Walmart has backed that up by saying, you know, we're fully staffed once again. I watch different outlets that I go into, whether it be a fast food place or a retail outlet or whatever the case may be. They seem to be better staffed than they were. So maybe the jobs market has maxed out here. The unemployment rate has bottomed. And maybe we'll see a little bit tougher jobs market in 2024. The jobs market's also very important to watch because it's an early indicator of the other thing that everybody will be watching for, recession. Any signs of a recession. You know, right now we've got some pretty rosy outlooks for GDP in 2024. We've got some pretty rosy outlooks for the S&P 500 target prices. We've got rosy outlooks for earnings for 2024. That's going to be another very critical number to watch because the market has built in probably the most optimistic earnings estimates for next year. And if we start to drift away from those lofty earnings expectations, we could see some sell-off in the market. So that's another thing we'll be watching. We'll be watching the jobs market. We'll be watching interest rates. We'll be watching earnings. I think 2023 will or 2024 will be more about earnings than anything else, because I think that the multiple, the interest rate environment is going to be more stable here this year. We've probably settled in. The market probably belongs in the 17 to 19 range as a forward PE, and we're currently at about 21. We're too high. We need to come back a little bit. But don't forget that the forward PE also changes with any kind of earnings revisions. You get earnings revision drops, earnings expectation revisions downwards, and that raises the forward PE ratio. And then you've got to have a little bit of a correction in the forward PE ratio. But last year it was more about interest rates. Earnings were steady all year. Earnings expectations were steady all year. the biggest factor last year, the biggest volatile factor last year was the multiple in the middle, that we multiply those earnings. Now that multiple has settled down because the interest rate environment has settled down. Now it's going to be all about the first input into that target price equation, and that is earnings, earnings, earnings. Well, when we come back, we're going to take a little bit of a look back and where we're at right now. What asset class do you think saw the most inflows, the most cash inflows in 2023? And as we begin 2024, you've got quite a balloon there in that asset class. We'll also take a little bit of a look at the gold. Gold hit a new all-time high. We'll look at the dollar when we come back. China remains a big factor for 2024, a big factor. And we've got some new estimates out from Morgan Stanley. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, cash was indeed the king in 2023. Cash, with inflows of $1.3 trillion. Well, you know what? People were able to earn more on their cash and short-term investments than in previous years. Interest rates are starting to go lower, however, on your short-term bonds and short-term investments. But a lot of people piled into cash. They were wrong again, right? The crowd is usually wrong. The crowd piled into cash when the best place to be was in the markets. $1.3 trillion flowed into cash. Now, will money come out of that cash and chase stocks at the high levels that they're at right now? That's usually what happens. The crowd is usually wrong. But suffice it to say, there is a lot of cash on the sidelines, believe it or not. A lot of cash money did not flow into the markets. Well, it did, but not as much as cash received. London gold hit a record high, $2,069. I think we've got to take a quick look at the U.S. dollar. That's why, because the dollar has been trading down here recently. Some weakness in the U.S. dollar, and that is always bullish for gold. Gold also likes inflation, which it's not getting right now. Gold also likes huge deficits, which it is getting. And gold also likes geopolitical issues around the world, which I think at the current time we have more than our normal amount. And I would say many market analysts are calling that as a big concern for 2024, geopolitics. China is not at war with anybody, at least not now, but they're at war with their economy right now, which continues to shrink, and their stock market is in a bear market. Look, it's in a bear market, and that is a big worry. In the back of my mind, anyways, is can our U.S. economy continue to grow while China continues to shrink? It doesn't seem like China is able to turn their sinking ship around, their economy, that is. They've tried a lot of things, but nothing has really worked yet. So we'll also be watching. That's one of the charts I look at every day. FXI. Is the Chinese market. It's having a good day today. It's up 3%, but it was hitting a new 52-week low here just a few days ago. So that's another thing to watch. Now, back to earnings. In very simple terms, the direction of earnings determine the direction of the market. And I know you say, well, earnings are looking backwards. Well, that's why we watch earnings expectations. Earnings expectations are looking forward. And we have right now, we have the consensus. Let me see where that consensus is currently. Because Morgan Stanley came out today with $229, which would be EPS growth of 7% this year. And if you put, let's just say, a multiple of 20, which would be very, very rich, on $229, you get about $4,600. And we're currently at $4,800. So you can see the issue we have with not only the market being overbought right now, but with the issue of overvalued at the current time. We are seeing a spreading out from the Magnificent Seven, but at the same time, you know, the whole market really right now is expensive. Now, let's take a look at Ed Yardini. I do like Ed Yardini. He tends to be on the optimistic side most of the time, but I do very similar to what he does. He's done it for a lot longer than I have. He does evaluations on the market based on earnings. He has 12 reasons why the S&P 500 will reach 5,400 next year. Now, I got to say, of all of the estimates and of all the predictions that I've seen so far for next year, Yardini is the highest at 5,400, okay? He is also the highest with his earnings. He's got $250 in earnings projected for next year. The consensus is much lower than that. So he's using a multiple of 22, I guess, somewhere in there, on 250 to come up with 5,400. And he thinks by 2025, we could get up to 5,800 to 6,000. But that obviously, you have to maintain a very rich multiple. You've got to hit earnings estimates that are much higher than the average estimate out there. But he is the most optimistic market analyst out there that I've seen so far. He says the economy might remain resilient, but inflation could fall closer to the 2% target. Okay, so that's reason number one, inflation falling closer to the 2% target, which helps the multiple out in the middle. I mean, he's going up to, back up to a 20 to 21 multiple to get to the numbers he's estimating. Number two reason, although excess savings are reducing and personal debt might increase, consumers will continue to have purchasing power. We know how important the consumer is to the economy, which also lends itself to the stock market and also is a driver of earnings. Job security remains high. Okay, that keeps people spending. He thinks unemployment will remain low. Now, reason number three, household net worth totaled a record high of $151 trillion by the third quarter with liquid assets. And will benefit even more with liquid assets. Will benefit even more after the Fed lowers short-term interest rates. So, you're richer than you've ever been out there. Most people, household net worth totaled a record high of $151 trillion by the third quarter. Labor demand is strong. Yeah, I'm still seeing that, definitely. But I think it has maybe peaked. November saw better-than-expected retail sales led by food services. Well, I am seeing that. I'm seeing people going to restaurants. Also, employment in the leisure and hospitality industries and the healthcare sectors remain high. Well, that's a lot of discretionary groups. And if they remain high, that means folks still have discretionary income to spend in the economy. And I have also seen the leisure stocks doing very well. The vacation stocks, the cruise ships, the hotels, etc. When we come back, we'll look at his other reasons for the S&P getting to 5,400 next year. I don't agree with that, But he's been more right more often than not. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Welcome back to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we're looking at the most optimistic forecast out there for the S&P 500, 5,400 next year. That's not my forecast. It's Ed Yardini's forecast, who has been right more often than not, but it's based on earnings expectations, okay? Expectations are subject to change every single week. I update my target price every single week in the newsletter. At some point in time, earnings have been growing since 2009. There were a couple of small stumbles, but they continued to grow. Through COVID, through all of the different things, through the banking crisis, all the things that have happened since 08 and 09. When earnings finally bottomed at $60 per share, Yardini's looking for $250 next year. Now, he's way higher than most people here, and his price target of $5,400 for next year is also the highest. He says manufacturing companies from the U.S. and other countries are onshoring to help with their U.S. supply chain. That's good for the U.S. economy. He says lower U.S. mortgage interest rates will boost new and existing home sales, which could boost house-related retail sales for appliances and furniture. Well, I think definitely the real estate market's going to get a little bit of relief. The mortgage market, home buyers, etc. We should have a little bit more active real estate market this year. Why? Well, you had interest rates up around 8% at one time on the 30-year. And I think it's pulling back maybe into the high sixes or so. That's going to help somewhat. His reason number seven for a 5,400 S&P 500. U.S. corporations have been able to generate cash flow totaling a record $3.4 trillion during the third quarter, up 4.1% year over year. Let's go to number eight. Inflation on durable goods and many non-durable goods continue to drop. Number nine, companies are spending more on technology to boost their productivity. Number 10, impending recession leading indicators are misleading, he says. He sees no sign of a recession out there. Number 11, industrial production in defense should continue to rise in a new record high due to geopolitical turmoil. Well, they're eating up a lot of weapons, that's for sure, in Ukraine and in the Middle East. Those weapons have to be replaced. Number 12 and final. This positive economic data should bolster the equity market. The Fed summary of economic projections has signaled that inflation can subside without a recession. And that's what we call, folks, a soft landing. And that's pretty much been priced into the market and then some at this current point in time. Well, I think artificial intelligence will continue to be a driver. I still think we're in the early innings of all that. Baidu's AI product, Ernie Bot, has over 100 million users. Microsoft's AI bet has not been priced in, says Wedbush. They say that Microsoft chatbot is a game changer. They're bumping their target price for Microsoft. This is Wedbush. Okay, Wedbush is very bullish on tech almost all of the time. They are bumping their target price on Microsoft to $450. Where is Microsoft today? One of the biggest winners of this year. It's at $375. Well, I think most people would be happy that own Microsoft if it got to $450. I think it has a chance to do that. Let me see what my target price currently is. I do five-year target prices. They do shorter-term target prices. Microsoft at the current time, according to the BestStocksNowApp.com, I did a lot of work. I had to do a lot of recalibrating of market caps because the market has done a lot of recalibrating. We now have multi-trillion dollar companies. To be a mega cap now, you've got to be $150 billion or more. So everything, the bar has moved up on all asset classes. Small caps right now begin at about $3 billion for me. $3 to $20 billion is small cap. $20 to $50 is mid cap. $50 to $150 is large cap. And above that, you're looking at mega caps. And anything under $3 million, you're looking at micro caps. Microsoft is obviously one of those mega caps, one of those fabulous seven. My current target price on Microsoft, 5 years from now, I have a D-minus value grade, a D-minus. It has 56% upside potential over the next 5 years. 5 years. That is subpar. I want for new money. Now, we own Microsoft. We're not planning on selling it. Maybe we'll reduce our position, which I'll be looking at next week. I'll be looking at all my positions that have become oversized and probably looking to reduce my exposure to those positions, depending on the stock. But Microsoft, for me, 56% upside potential. It's currently a strong hold, according to the Best Stocks Now app.com. Apple watch ban paused by appeals court. They can start selling their watches again. I also have about the same outlook, maybe even lower for Apple. At this time, it's now a single-digit grower. I have Apple as a strong hold, okay? Value grade right now, the valuation for Apple, I have a five-year target price showing 55% upside potential. 55, about the same as Microsoft. It's very subpar. Your risk-to-reward ratio is not very favorable at this time on most of those big stocks that led the market in 2023. Now, that's just a fact. The target prices are a product of how much are you going to make? How much are you going to grow over the next 5 years? What kind of multiple are we going to give to your unique company? And what kind of five-year target price are we going to set for you? If anything, I'm always a little bit on the optimistic side, I guess, just a little bit. I lean a little bit optimistic in my target prices. And the best I can do on Apple right now is 55% upside potential over the next 5 years. In order to come into buy territory for me, the stock would have to go down quite a bit. There'd have to be a pretty big correction in the stock. And, you know, I've been saying it before recently, and I'll say it again. It would not surprise me during the month of January to see some icing come off the cake of these stocks that led the market in 2024. And Apple would be one of those that are vulnerable at the current time. Amazon Prime is getting ads. I don't watch Amazon Prime that much. You know, there's only so much time in the day. I spend more time on YouTube, I guess, in the evenings, watching stuff that I really is targeted toward what I'm following at the current time. Amazon will be getting ads. You're going to have to pay another $2.99 a month to not get ads. So you have to pay. If you don't want ads, you got to pay up. Can Johnson & Johnson reverse their loss in 2024? Well, it was one of the stinkers. I don't see any kind of catalyst myself. And yet it's one of the most overowned stocks in the entire market. I had a couple of portfolios come to me from big wirehouse firms. I didn't even have to look. I already knew it was there, Johnson & Johnson, in both of those portfolios. It's a safe, you know, nobody's going to complain about you putting Johnson & Johnson in their portfolio. It's a mega cap stock. Everybody uses their products mostly on a daily basis, but the stock hasn't gone anywhere for a long time. It has been a tremendous underperformer, dull stock. They had all of the issues, and it hasn't been resolved yet with the talcum powder. I have Johnson & Johnson with upside potential over the next 5 years of 50%. And it has zero momentum. It doesn't even really come in as a value stock with a P.E. ratio of 32. So anyways, it gets talked about. There's articles written about it all the time. The wirehouses love it, along with many other stocks like that. Big, recognizable household names. Very poor stock performance. Aren't we after stock performance? That's what I thought. Well, when we come back, we'll look underneath the surface of today's market, see if we can detect any kind of early signs of what might be coming in 2024. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, I'll be sharpening my pencil this afternoon and start working on the newsletter for this weekend, which will come out Saturday afternoon with my final forecast for 2024 for the year, although that is a flexible number. As earnings estimates change, something I update and watch very, very closely. There is no better indicator in the market. If you learn nothing else from my show, stocks and indexes follow earnings. And as long as those earnings continue to grow in a stock or in the market's going to follow. Unless that little multiple, that little pesky multiple in the middle gets too rich. We also have to watch that right now, too. So I update those target prices every single week. It's based on interest rates. It's based on earnings estimates that are out there on the S&P 500, which have been going up since 2009. There's no better explanation for why the market has hit new highs here, because earnings are hitting record highs. Okay? Now, for me, the stock of the day is AMD, once again. There's not a lot happening in the market today. It's very quiet. And I don't expect much to happen tomorrow. I think by the time we come back, Tuesday will be fairly normal. And I think by Wednesday, Thursday, things will really start to set kind of a tone for next year. And I don't expect the same kind of year next year that we had this year. It'll be a different kind of market because we have a different set of circumstances. You've had stocks that have gone way up, a small set of stocks that have gone way up, and are very expensive. You have some stocks, a lot of stocks, that were left behind. They're still not exactly great values, but they've been left behind. I think 2024 is going to be more of a contrarian year. This was definitely not a contrarian year. Most of the crowd went with the crowd, right? We went with the Fabulous Seven and followed it, and now it's kind of become a game of chicken. Who's going to bail first? That's usually what happens. You start to see some bailing. We saw one day of that last week, and everybody goes, what hit the market today? I think it was last Thursday. I think you're going to start to see some hits to the market in January as the pivot euphoria starts to wear off and a little bit dose of reality sets in. And the big traders come back from vacation, the guys and the gals that really move the markets. But AMD is my stock of the day. Look at that chart. That's a beautiful chart. That's hitting a new 52-week high. AMD had a fantastic year. It continues to be one of our biggest positions. It was one of the first ones we got back into in early January of this year after avoiding it in 2022 in a rising interest rate environment, which is not favorable to high PE stocks. And now AMD is taking off and closing in on a new all-time high. 164 is its all-time high back in 2021. It's at 149 now. It's 15 points under its all-time high, but it's hitting a new 52-week high. It's definitely our best performer, and it's having a big impact on our overall assets here at Gunderson Capital Management because it's one of our top five positions here at the firm. You know, AMD, believe it or not, got down to $93 a share in early November. About 7-8 weeks ago. You could have picked it up at 93. I was afraid, to be honest with you. I have a note written on my chart there. Not good if it breaks 90. It never did. It turned around at about 93. If it would have broke 90, that could have been a technical breakdown. And it started to take off. There's two things that have driven AMD here. From 93 in late October, early November, to 149 today. What kind of move is that? That's a 55% move in AMD in 8 weeks. 55%. And when it's one of your largest positions, that has a big impact on your overall assets under management at a firm. We have many large positions like AMD, but AMD has been the best performer. Now has a relative strength of 96. What has driven this move in AMD? Well, the advancements they're making with their AI chip. They're trying to, you know, lasso NVIDIA, which has a giant lead in the AI race, try to bring them back a little bit and try to do a little bit of catching up with them. And I think AMD has the chops to do it. They have a great CEO that has led this company. AMD was $1 per share in 2016. $1 per share. Where's it at today? 7 years later, 8 years later, $149 per share. Lisa Su, AMD's CEO, one of the great turnarounds of all time. Intel, for many years, ran circles around AMD. Everything was powered by Intel, right? You log in and the little Intel a jingle came up on your computer. Well, you know what? AMD is now running circles around Intel. But Intel also had a very good year. They did a lot of catching up in 2023. The race is on between NVIDIA, AMD, Intel. And don't forget, they need ASM lithography's equipment to make their high-speed chips. So anyways, AMD for me is the stock of the day. It's up 2.3%. There's not much really up more than that. The gambling stocks are doing well today, the casinos, Penn Entertainment, etc. I guess a lot of gambling coming up, football playoffs, college playoffs, etc., college football playoffs. The other area that's seeing some action today is China, the Chinese stocks, JD.com, Baidu, NetEase, etc. I just can't. You know what? The Chinese stocks, every time they get going, they crack down. Some kind of new regulations, some kind of new rules that they have to obey. China has just become uninvestable. And let's not forget, it's a big part of the emerging markets. When you buy an emerging market fund or an emerging market ETF, you're getting a lot of China in there. Okay, well, I did a lot of talking here. Barry has got the day off. I think he's got one more day off, then we'll both be back tomorrow or on Tuesday. But I'll be here again tomorrow. I'm just giving you a warning. I will be in the saddle again tomorrow talking about the markets. I've got a lot of charts to look at today. I'm trying to really, really get a handle on the rotation that I know is going to take place in January of next year from what the markets did here this year. To get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. We have been getting a lot of new clients. We always are. Come on board with us. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Make an appointment with us. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.